Welcome to the Flame Podcast, spreading truth like wildfire with your flamethrowers Anna Kane and Nicole Orozco on a mission to set the captives free. Now here they are, your hosts.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode number 25. We have a great show lined up for you. For more information about the Flame Podcast and the Flame Paper, make sure to visit us at theflameusa.com. Also, please subscribe to the show at podomatic.com and download the app, the Podomatic app, so you won't miss a single episode. So the way we start out the show is Watchmen on the Wall, where we cover the latest events and happenings. And this is it. One more week to talk about the Reawaken America Tour and the Flame, September 16th and 17th. And we are super, super excited to announce that the tour is coming next week to the Washington-Idaho border. It's the 16th and 17th. So come by our booth. We should have a vendor booth, but you'll see us around and say hi. You could get tickets now. They sell out quick. And, you know, I think he said he got an extra, he had an extra 700 seats that he asked. They were sold out. Asked for 700 more. This was a few days ago I saw, and they're filling up. So if you're going to do it, go to timetofreeamerica.com and mention the Flame promo code. You'll get 10% off. And we're also calling everyone this Sunday, September 11th, to go to your city halls, parks, churches, all at 3 o'clock Eastern time for a national day of prayer. And, you know, this is the most important thing we could be doing right now, is getting on our knees and praying to God. Sing hymns, sing worship songs, do whatever you can do to get people around and do this. And there's flyers available. You could even tweak them to your own logo or branding. It's at wethepeople2.us. So print that flyer out, get it out, and let's humble ourselves and ask the Lord for guidance.
I want to step in there, because I know a lot of times when we talk about things and we announce something, sometimes we forget to mention that somebody needs to take charge of that. So the National Day of Prayer, you need to take charge. You need to go to that website, print up the flyer, decide on your location, and get it out into your community. So make sure that you're taking charge to do that, not just going there, because the more people we have in line to be in prayer, the better. That is what will save America, is prayer.
And that's wethepeople2.us. Wethepeople2.us.
Number two.
Go print out the flyer and, like Anna said, take charge. Get a team leader. Let's do this thing. Going back along the lines to the Reawaken America Tour, we have a special edition. It's September issue, and it coincides with the Reawaken America Tour, featuring Clay Clark, Dr. Tenpenny, James Grunvig, Pam Bartha, Shram Hadian, Millions Against Medical Mandates, Sheriff Mack. So much more in this issue. It is just amazing.
It's crazy how God works, because I know we all know about Biden's Nazi speech last week. And it was kind of funny because, you know, God is so in this paper. Nicole, more than me, works really, really hard on finding pictures and doing things. And it was crazy because the day we were in print, Biden did his speech. And when I picked up papers the following day, the picture on our front cover totally resembled what his speech looks like in the satanic realm that he is in. And so it blows my mind how God just creates full circle. So if you guys haven't seen this month's Flame, make sure to go subscribe, make sure to find it and pass it out everywhere, so the people who didn't see the speech can really start to understand the problem
here. It captures that spirit.
And yeah. I thought about it, because somebody's saying, not Anna, but but it was, it should be blue because red won't show up. Then we need a deeper red because this has to be red.
Right.
It has to be red.
God said.
Yeah, it has to be red. Yeah. So it is red.
It does a great job. It does a great job.
Go online and see it if you're not able to get it.
Because, you should just subscribe. Well, yeah. Or call us.
Yeah.
Anyway, Judy Mikovits. Some say tomato, some say tomato, some say Mikovits, some say Mikovits. But
isn't that so true? Judy, we love you.
Yes. But she'll be at the House Church in Snohomish, Washington. You do need to go to the House Church in Snohomish on their website. And that's on September 18th at 6 p.m. Just say you're going because they need to do a count. So... Da, 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 da.
You know, I'm gonna. Isn't that the Sunday of the event in Idaho?
Yes.
And unfortunately, my wife and I. Well, I don't know. We'll see. We're gonna go Thursday. We're going over Thursday. We're gonna stay Thursday night with some friends in Post Falls. Go right on down the street to the event. And then we're going to stay there on Friday night at our friends. And then we're going to go on over to the event on Saturday. So I'm going to be there. My wife's going to be there. I'm going to have a couple books. I'm going to hand them out to Clay and others and make a lot of connections and say hello to anybody who wants to say hello to me. And then we're heading down and we're heading south down to Clarkson and down to Hermiston. And then we're going to come back on Sunday. So we'll see. Maybe we'll be back by the late afternoon and we can go to that. I would love to go there because
we're gonna try our best. I'm not sure if we'll get back in time because we have a lot of stuff to be packing with us, but we're gonna try.
Let Anna drive the whole way and I'll sleep.
She does. That's my job, I think, around here.
Book
is
on
just
tape,
to drive.
Book on tape.
Yep. Book on tape. Well, we have a car full of people too. So you know, the Biden Nazi speech, he's really trying to start a civil war. You could call it a color revolution. George Soros is really good at color revolutions. It's a little hard in the United States, I think, compared to a smaller country. You know, in Ukraine, they started a color revolution. That in, you know, some of the Middle East countries, color revolution.
We can't fall for it, folks.
And what color revolution? It has nothing to do with color.
No.
It has with pitting one side against another side. So they start fighting so they could bring in their people and take over a country.
They started that way back in the day. And to be honest, when you listen to George Bush, war on, quote, terror, he says, you're either for us or you're against us.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so this idea of pitting one side against the other versus, hey, if you're a thinking person, maybe you don't agree with what we're doing here. Oh, but now you're against it. No, maybe I'm a thinking person going, I see what's going on here and I don't agree. No,
I'll
you're against
us. Agree to disagree.
Right.
Agree to disagree.
Thank
don't
you.
Fall for it, folks.
That's
because,
right.
Believe if that happens, it is not in our benefit.
Mask, no mask. Jab, no jab. Race, no race. I mean, this has been pitting and they're trying to get us riled up, but I don't think it's going to work.
I don't think it'll work either.
Nope.
But then I go on a couple sites and I do see people saying, are you ready for the revolution?
Oh,
and,
they're...
you know, and so I don't know if those are plants or what, but what
don't
we
go.
Need is all we need is love.
Yep.
Somebody told me I sing really badly yesterday.
You know, but... it's hard, though, sometimes to decipher that, right? Because we talk on the show a lot about not riding the fence, right? Not being in the middle, that there is a side to choose. And so sometimes it seems confusing because we're like, nope, don't fall for this one. But the reality is that we do have to make a choice. But we have to do it in a loving and caring way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, our goal for the Flame podcast is to make it a top performer within the political podcast category. So we need your help. All you need to do is share this show with 10 of your friends. And speaking of sharing, we got a great guest coming up who will be sharing with us what money is and what money isn't, and how we've been fooled our entire life, along with an organization he is heading up that assists people to take back control of their school districts by tracking the money using banking statements. And I know people doing this. So this will be a highly informative show, and he'll talk a lot about money and how it was created, too. So you'll really want to share this with all of your friends.
Welcome to our Torchbearers segment, where we interview people who are carrying the torch of truth and making a positive difference in our world. This week, we have Alan Meyer on with us, who is a man who knows money and how to right the wrongs of the banking cartels who run the world through their systems of checks and balances. Alan will also share how we can take back our school districts by using simple money tracking skills a high schooler can understand. Welcome, Alan.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be on the program.
Yes.
Thanks for the invitation. Just for clarity, my last name is actually pronounced Myers. There's an S at the end.
That's oh, okay. Well, thank you for clarifying that. We do not
no
have
worries.
That on our end. I'm
no,
sorry
I
about
either.
That. All right.
No worries.
No
All
worries.
Right, we'll get into it.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a CPA forensic accountant. Forensic accountant is the term used for people like me who look through financial documents. It could be banking, it could be contracts, trust documents, whatever. The upshot is, ultimately, where did the money come from and where did it go?
Mm-hmm.
That's the essence of it. And you're all, and it's called forensic for whatever reason, because you're looking at records that are old. And what's nice about looking at records that are old is that this is what happened, especially banking records. In addition to that, I have been self-educating since 2011 on the monetary system. I started out reading the book that so many people have, which is G. Edward Griffin's The Creature from Jekyll Island. Since I began, I have become friends with Mr. Griffin. I've been involved with his original organization. And now I am involved with Red Pill Expo. I've been a speaker at Red Pill Expo 3 times. Last time I spoke, I actually spoke on something different, and it was to bring to everybody's attention 5 women of the American Revolution. Most people have never heard their names, forget knowing what they did, and that they literally put their lives on the line for freedom.
I loved that. I loved it more than you could ever imagine. Just breaking in, but yes, go on.
Thank you. And then finally, it's kind of promotion this early instead of at the end. On Saturdays, I'm on radio. My friend Douglas V. Gibbs is a constitution educator. We're on KMET 1490 AM. You can find us on the web. And on Sundays, I am on Patriot Soapbox 5 to 7 p.m. West Coast time with my own program called For the Republic.
Very good. Very good. So, you know, you have a education, their education modules about money. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yes. The pamphlet is called Fed Ed. I actually have a website called FedEd, FEDED.US, where you can actually, for very few dollars, buy the modules. You can look at the first 6 for free. The idea behind this, and I had several variations before I came up with this final one, and the idea is to take a reader through the basics of the monetary system. The first 15 modules, that's what I call them, are each 1 page long. 1 page, 1 topic, simple, easy, not technical. This is not economics. Economics is really the study of how people interact with each other in commerce, which is different and separate from how our banking system actually works. And this is, if I may just take another minute, if you look at the front cover of Fed Ed, on the cover is this monster creature, which is supposed to represent the Hydra. The Hydra is a mythological creature. I became acquainted with this from a quote from Andrew Jackson. I'm no big fan of his, but he did prevent the recharter of the second U.S. Bank. And he's quoted as saying that he referring to the second U.S. Bank as a hydra-headed monster eating the flesh of the common man, which is a great metaphor because a hydra has multiple necks with multiple heads, and mythology tells you if you cut off one head, two will grow back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this to me is a great metaphor for today because every problem we face in our country could be seen as a head on the hydra.
Yep.
And if you focus intently on one, you won't see the other problems coming after you.
Smoke screens.
And if you actually take the head, you may bring two back. There's only one way to deal with these kind of problems because they're all connected to the hydra. You have to take the hydra, and the only way you can take the hydra is to take its heart. And the easiest way to take the hydra's heart is to take its heartbeats. And the heartbeats of this monetary system hydra is the bookkeeping of banking. How's that?
That was good. That was good. So we kind of looked at your education modules. Can you explain to us what M1 money is today in the U.S.?
Yes. Now, the term M1 is not my term. This came from my study. This is in banking. This is in economics. M stands for money. One stands for the number one supply. The number one supply is considered spendable on demand now. And traditionally, it has four things in it. Cash and coin in circulation in country, and I'll explain that. Traveler's checks issued by non-banks. And all the, what I'll call the electronic digits in checking accounts or demand deposit accounts, basically your checking account. Traveler's checks issued by non-banks, put it aside, it's a de minimis amount. So we get cash and coin in circulation in country. In circulation in country means in your pocket, my pocket, maybe all the way up to state governments. But who does, so that's M1 money. Cash and coin that's outside of the country is not part of what they call the M1 money supply. Basically, in round numbers, it's kind of half and half. Half cash and coin, half electronic digits and checking accounts. Now, in May of 2020, the powers that be decided to change this.
Mm.
And they took something, and now the term is not M1 money. Now the term is M1SL. And what has happened is that they stopped reporting traditional M1, and now they report M1SL, and they've combined what has traditionally been savings and money market accounts with the regular M1. So the M1 went from, this is round numbers, from $4 trillion to $16-17 trillion in a heartbeat. Well, the fact that they include it together doesn't mean that the bank cannot stop you from moving money out of a savings account, because though you can access your savings account online and move money, the banks have the ability to stop that because that's why you get interest, because they get to hold it if they need it mm-hmm. for a few more days.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I believe this change happened is because there is a huge push to go cashless. No cash or coin, just everything electronic digits. And I know this is very hip happening, techie, sophisticated. It would be one of the worst things to happen to us.
Yes, it
Have
would.
Have you seen Biden's order six? I think it's 14067 on the CBDC?
Yes, I've printed it out, and I'm going to be doing a show on it.
Okay.
And one of the, just an aside, one of the problems I have with quote-unquote executive orders is that the true intent of the executive order was the communication, this is constitutional, was the communication between the head of the executive branch, the president, to the rest of the executive branch. Executive orders were not sent to judicial branch, were not sent to legislative branch, and absolutely not sent to the people. Well, this has got changed late in the 1800s, early 1900s, and now, I mean, if a president can issue an executive order and the whole country is supposed to follow it,
he's a king.
We have a dictatorship.
Yep, we got a king.
So this whole idea that the president issues an executive order, or we'll all bend a knee, bow our head, and do whatever we've been told. This is absolutely, fundamentally unconstitutional and totally ridiculous. And it's interesting because I've started to read it. Like one section, he says, we must protect consumers. Who's we?
Who is we?
Yeah. Then there's another one. We must protect United States. Not the United States. We must protect United States.
Singular.
Once again, who's we? And it goes on and on. We must mitigate the illicit finance and national security risks posed by misuse of digital assets. Who's we?
I think he meant I.
I think he meant the puppet masters above him. But
yeah.
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 But they're going through him.
Yeah. So, anyway, the push is to go cashless. And there's some businesses who actually tell you they don't take cash anymore. And my response is, I will never buy anything from you again.
Can you run on the problem with the cashless system?
Sure. And I have a module on that, and it is module 10. The problem with a cashless monetary system. Now, every module opens with a quote and ends with what I call the takeaway. The opening quote for module 10, the problems with a cashless monetary system, is plan A without a plan B is not much of a plan at all. Or a SEAL team would tell you, two is one is none. What could possibly go wrong if we're cashless? Well, that means it's all electronic. Now, if you remember Cyprus and Greece, the bank shut down. You could not go into the branch. You cannot access an ATM. You cannot move money online. Well, if people didn't have cash for 4 or 5 days, they'd be hurting big time, or they'd be going straight back to barter.
Yep.
But let's say everybody is playing nice in this system, okay? There's no bad actors. Everybody wants everybody to be happy and secure and safe.
Let's say that.
Let's just take that position. And here's the kicker. Have you ever heard of the Carrington event?
I think I did, but go ahead. You told me about it, yes.
Carrington begins with a C. Carrington was a British astronomer. On or about September 1, 1859, he's observing the sun. And the sun kicks what is called a massive coronal mass ejection. This is an absolutely huge, I'll call it, ball of energy. And it goes the approximate 94 million miles from sun to earth in about 18 to 19 hours. I call that galactic pedal to the metal. And it hits the earth. Well, it covers the earth. Didn't make a sound. Mm-hmm. And for the parts of the world at the time that were at night, maybe 10, 11 p.m., the sky was so lit that people went outside, and they document it. They went outside and they read the newspaper. The aurora borealis, normally only seen in the northern latitudes, was seen in the tropics. This is an absolutely huge blast of energy from the sun. So far, other than maybe you could get a tan at midnight, no big deal. There's one kicker. The telegraph equipment and wires, fried. So what happens to our world if we get a Carrington event?
Right.
You know that greatest thing that was ever invented called the refrigerator?
Yep.
It's not working. Your cars won't start. Your lights won't. The grid is gone or mostly gone. One of the biggest problems we have with our electrical grid in this country is there are things called transformers. There are these huge, monstrous things that are core
to the blow up all the time around here.
Yeah. Guess where they're made?
China.
Are they made in the U.S.? No.
Nope.
They're made in Eastern Europe.
Oh, Eastern Europe.
But the grid is down. This doesn't mean, it'll come up in an hour or two and I'll be able to watch the evening news. No, the grid's gone. Everything that has wires in it is probably fried to some degree. The computers are gone, and all your monetary wealth, which is in somebody's computer somewhere,
is gone.
Or if it was in a hardened facility, it doesn't matter because you
can't
access it
because
there's no electricity.
Yep.
So please give me a cashless society. Oh, this will be so wonderful.
And that's only if they're nice. That doesn't even go into if they're not nice and decide that you can't drive 5 miles and they'll shut off your bank account.
Oh, well, if you happen to be somebody who wants to exercise your right to speak out and the powers that be don't like you doing that,
shut you down.
Well, we're going to just shut down your bank account.
Yep.
And nanner, nanner, there's nothing you can do about it. But here's the kicker. Again, everybody's playing nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Social Security Administration, you've heard of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, they're just human, and doggone it, they make mistakes. And one of the this is back when I did the research. One of the mistakes they happen to make is, on average, every month, they declare 1,000 people dead that are, in fact, not dead. And this has also happened up in Canada.
Wow.
What happens when you are declared dead by Social Security? Do you have access to credit?
Nope.
No. Do you have access to your bank account? Probably not, because you're dead. Do you have access to getting your Social Security if you were getting it?
Nope.
That's done. You're a non-person. And you can spend, and this woman, there was a report I read recently, this woman spent months. She even went down to the office to show that she was very much alive. It will take months and months to rectify this problem.
Well, and all the proof. Imagine the proof that you're going to have to provide.
Except when you vote.
I was going to say, when you vote.
Except when you vote.
They like dead people.
They reverse that, and then they say
the dead person is actually alive, and they put it on there. I was thinking the same thing, Nicole.
Well, see, it really determines, how you're defining the, because words are being, words are being so redefined all the time. I think it depends on how you're using the term dead.
Right.
Right.
Because just because you're dead doesn't mean you don't get a vote, because we still care about you.
Right. Well,
up is down and down is up.
I'm going to interject. There is, when you go back and you look at the Rockefeller Foundation, they put out I forget the name of the periodical, but it's a whole pamphlet. And in there it talks about various scenarios that may hit America. And well, lo and behold, some of those things have already the pandemic, the scamdemic happened, the terrorist issue happened.
That's Operation Lockfoot, I think.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And then they have in there, what happens if there's a cyber attack? Well, what happens if, and see, in every case, for those who are in the know, those are actually everything they say they're going to do, they do. It's not other people. They do it. And let's just say they decide to shut down the grid for a day. Just a day, just to test how things are done and see how people react. If you don't have cash, at least some cash, you're up the crick.
Well, here's here's one of the problems. I agree with what you're saying. One of the problems is that all cash registers nowadays are electric.
Yes, they are.
There's no mechanical cash registers. Most of the people working would have a hard time making change because they can't use the amount tendered.
Yeah, that's true.
Depending on whether the grid's down or not, or if you can access your cash register. But the thing is that if you have no physical money, cash and coin, then all your monetary wealth is in a system. It's in a computer. You don't own it. You don't control it. You don't really know where the computer is. You can get locked out if you say the wrong thing to the wrong person at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And it can be what does the bank tell you when they have to relay to you, "Oh, depositor, I'm so sorry. Our system was hacked last night and your account was cleaned out. Sorry. Bye-bye."
Right.
Okay. So you can't put money under the mattress or right next to your shotgun. You know, you can't, because there is no physical money. This is a push for more and more control over our everyday lives.
Yep.
It also would mean that every transaction would basically be electronic in one way or another, which means you are even more trackable, more traceable.
How much time? Okay, so with the executive order he has, December 13th is a date in that order. And how much time do you think we have, and what monetary system can replace the Fed? Do we have time to do this?
I think it's smoke and mirrors. I don't think it's ever going to come to pass.
When I am posed questions about, it's like looking at what's going on today. It's just an HE double hockey sticks storm out there.
Yes.
And to me, I'm okay, because now I can see the enemies. I see what they're doing. They're not hiding in the dark anymore. The new monetary system is what I propose in FedEd. It is simple. It's doable. And Abraham Lincoln, almost got it right when he created the greenbacks going into the Civil War. But he left the power with the government. Let me ask you a straight-up question. What do you think is going to happen if you leave the teenagers home alone for the weekend with the keys to the liquor cabinet, the Corvette, and the credit card? What's going to happen?
They had a movie with Tom Cruise that featured people
like
that.
So what have we allowed to happen in our country? And we've allowed this. Now, yes, this went on for generations before us, but this is our time. This is our watch. We're on the wall. We let the federal government tax us. That's access to our checking accounts. We let the federal government borrow. That's basically our credit card. And we supervise nothing. What could go wrong? Well, just a quick aside, this is one of the things I study and I talk about, educate on, national debt. Last I looked, some weeks ago, the national debt was $30.6 trillion. Now, this sounds like a whopper do, but most people don't, and I'm a numbers guy, but most people don't process $1 trillion. And I don't really process well $1 trillion. I know it's 1 followed by 12 zeros. I know it's 1,000 billion. That still doesn't work for me.
I can't even track billions.
Yeah. So I decided to put $1 trillion into what I call understandable units. Seconds, inches, and miles. We can all process seconds, inches, and miles, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So what is 1 trillion seconds? If you were to live 1 trillion seconds, a second being the snap of a finger, if you could live 1 trillion seconds, you'd live to be 31,709 years old.
Ooh-wee.
Well, I've got a guarantee on that, thanks to Jesus.
That's not going to happen. So let's get to inches. You want to be healthy, and you want to exercise, and you're going to walk a trillion inches because that's the good thing to do. Well, if you walked a trillion inches, you'd walk a distance equal to 633 times around the Earth at the equator. One lap, 24,500 miles.
I love these examples.
Yes.
Keep them coming.
So that's not going to happen, is it?
Nope.
Okay, your last hope. You want to be the first one in your neighborhood to get the trillion-mile frequent flyer card. Oh, yeah. All you have to do is fly a distance equal to about 107 round trips from Earth to Pluto and back.
and take all of these times 30.
Pluto's the last little one.
and this 107 is not the distance between Earth and Pluto at its closest. It's Earth and Pluto at its farthest.
Wow.
So, yeah, that gives you an idea. Seconds, inches, and miles, how absolutely, astronomically monstrous 1 trillion is. Now, since we're on national debt, I'll ask this serious question. Number one, do you know what a Ponzi scheme is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's when you're taking money from the bottom and you're feeding it to the top with no hope in the bottom ever getting their money back.
Borrowing Paul to pay Peter?
Yep.
Well, the way I would describe it is you have no for-profit business with which to repay debt.
No.
Okay.
Madoff went to jail for
yes,
that.
Yes, as long as you keep getting new lenders, investors, you can keep the scheme going.
Yep.
Okay, and as Bernie Madoff found out.
Madoff, yep.
Everybody, you know, Ponzi's always end because you always run out of a sufficient mm-hmm. number of investors to keep the scheme going. Well, my question is this. What for-profit business is the U.S. government operating with which to repay the debt?
None. Big
you
fat
mean you're
zero.
Telling me that the U.S. Treasury, an agency of the federal government, is running a Ponzi?
For years.
And they're using you and I and everybody who is a citizen of the United States of America as collateral because we're all got Social Security numbers and we're all that's collateral.
They're just legitimately stealing
from
us.
They're saying each human being is collateral and therefore those individuals are going to pay taxes and they're going to keep up basically the interest rate on those trillions of dollars. They're never going to pay it back, but we as individuals in our great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will continue to pay the interest rate because that's what this whole system's based on is.
It's not just the interest, it's the principal.
Yep.
And to me, what the debt shows, given when the first 1040s were filed, which is for the year 1913, to be subject to having to file a tax return, you had to have taxable income greater than $20,000. How many people do you think were making taxable income greater than $20,000 in 1913?
Not a whole
None.
Lot.
Not hard.
Not very many.
Maybe a few of the rich guys.
And the tax rate was 1%.
Yes.
The top tax rate applied to incomes over 500,000, taxable income over 500,000, at 6%. So do you think the average person thought, this is never going to affect me, I don't care, tax the rich?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the way it played out, is it?
No.
And despite how massive the tax rates have been, how much income is now taxable,
mm-hmm.
that's still not enough.
Never will
be. And
that's
why the debt keeps going up, because the federal government is allowed to borrow, it keeps finding investors, and it also shows how absolutely expansive, beyond the Constitution, the federal government has grown.
Well, and
Did you know during the convention, which lasted about 4.5 months, of some serious yelling and screaming, there is in the Constitution a requirement that the Congress meets at least once a year. You know what the argument against that was?
Mm-mm.
The argument against that was that's too often. That's the way they viewed how big the federal government would be.
Wow. Yeah, back in the day. Yep.
Yeah. By allowing this debt accumulation, this constant borrowing, we have supported an ever-increasing unconstitutional federal government.
Share with us, based on the debt that we currently have, how does that affect the role that the U.S. plays in the world?
Well, you've got people investing here because they don't like investing anywhere else. Or they like, you know, they like this a little bit better than what they have options elsewhere. The U.S. government has more debt than anybody else. Some people will say, well, yeah, but you have to understand some of that debt is owed to other government agencies. Well, those government agencies are going to eventually need the funding, so creditor's a creditor.
Yeah.
But what major country is not massively in debt? The game here is, and I just struggle with this concept, but the game has been and will always be, if we don't defeat it, control.
Yep.
And if you can indebt someone or some entity or some country, the holders of the debt will eventually control. Now, you know the name Milton Friedman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Nobel Prize winning economist. Well, he is quoted as saying that the Federal Reserve definitely caused the Great Depression. And the way they were able to accomplish this is they set policy that banks followed. And back then, a lot of loans, or most of the loans, were callable. When a bank calls the loan, you got to pay off. If you can't pay off, you lose your collateral. If you do pay off, then that money is taken out of the money supply. So the money supply got reduced by, let's say, 20%. Well, what happens to your body if you reduce the blood supply by 20%? How you doing?
Not good.
Not good.
Not good at all.
Weak.
And this was not an accident. This was deliberate. Absolutely deliberate. So what did we get? We got the Great Depression. What did we get? More federal government in our life.
Yes.
And, you know, people hanging on for all they could. So
yeah.
This is about bringing us
to our knees.
Well, according to the quote, the Federal Reserve definitely caused the Great Depression by contracting the amount of currency in circulation by one-third from 1929 to 1933. Well, if you, any one of you, were running a huge national corporation, and you messed up so badly, your corporation almost went BK, do you have a job the next day?
Mm-mm. No.
So why do they? Yep. Why do they? Why do we allow this? And what can we do about it?
We still have the Fed.
Yeah, what can we do about this? You know, how do we...
Say what?
What's the action plan
behind... Yeah, let's turn the corner and look at some solutions to on an individual basis.
Yes. Oh, one last quote from Milton Friedman. If you put the federal government in charge of the Sahara Desert, in 5 years there'd be a shortage of sand. Anyway... A start, and I'll promote myself when I do, the start is reading Fed Ed, because Fed Ed is not just a discussion of the monetary systems, the basics. It gets down to what the replacement is and where the power is, basically where are the heartbeats of this hydra. And if you understand basic bookkeeping, then you'll understand what I have in Module 16, which are... four bookkeeping, very basic bookkeeping journal entries that come out of banking. And you see how money is created, added to the supply, how money is extinguished, taken from the supply. And I have no problem with money being created as electronic digits in a computer. I have no problem with that. But my problem is who holds the power and who gets the benefit. Well, right now, the only entities that can create money, that is, add or subtract money from our money supply, are banks. Well, I don't want them to have that power. Why should they have the power when we the people? Now, imagine going back in time before the 17th Amendment, and the senators that went to D.C. were appointed by each state legislature because they, the two senators from each state, were to be the voice of their state at the federal government level. That's why they have the bicameral, the two-house Congress. One is for the people, the other is for the states. Well, 17th Amendment just ripped that out, and I don't know why the states ever agreed to it. Anyway, imagine what I call a national bank, for lack of a better term. And this national bank is owned, controlled, run for the benefit of we the people. Every state would send representatives. They had never been in politics. They understand business. And they speak for their state in the running of this new national bank. The national bank is the only bank of issue. This is the only entity that can create or extinguish money. Its number one job is to fund the federal government. Now, the federal government can pass any budget it wants, but the national bank people will determine which part of that budget they will fund, and they will fund it. They don't like certain parts of it, like the Department of Education. Department of Education goes away because there's no more funding for it.
Alan, we're getting close to the end of our show, and I do want to ask you, because I know that you are working with We the People, too, on going to the school boards and figuring out funding. Can you briefly tell us about that?
In about a minute's time,
and then let people know how they can find out more about you.
Sure. Go to wethepeople2.us. That's we the people, all one word, the number 2.us. Up on the top, there's a tab called MAR Project, Municipal Accounting Review. The whole idea behind this, which is comes from my forensic accounting background, is if you really want to know what's going on in a municipality, and we're starting with school districts, you want to look at their banking, nothing else. And we, the people too, and I are working together to help people learn at school district levels. We'll give you the FOIA requests, Freedom of Information Act request letters. We'll show you how to do the summarization of their banking, what to ask for. And this is the only way to know what they're doing with the money, where it's coming from. Does the money come in with strings? If they are, who's pulling the strings? What are they doing? This is how you hold school districts accountable. Eventually, you can take it up to larger and larger municipalities.
Awesome. Alan, so tell us more. Tell the people listening where they can find out info about you.
Go to FedEd, F-E-D-E-D, .us. Check out the module. There's a way to contact me on that website. Also, get involved with the MAR project at wethepeople2.us. And you can contact them, and there are state telegram groups to join, because this is how you get activism absolutely local. You go after the school districts.
Well, thank you so much, Alan, for coming on with us. God bless, and we look forward to staying in touch.
Oh, absolutely. This has been a blast. Thank you for having me on, and if you ever want to have me come back, just let me know.
We want you on for 4 hours.
Thanks, Alan.
Oh, thank you all. You all be safe and well. Take
you
care.
You too. Bye.
Big announcement. My new book, Breaking the Deception Code, A Truth Seeker's Guide to Discernment, is now available. If there's a singular problem facing the world today, it's a lack of discernment reflected in billions of people choosing to align themselves with dark forces intent on destroying them physically, mentally, financially, and we learned a lot about that with our guest today, and spiritually. The solution is learning how to have discernment. There's no better way than purchasing my book, Breaking the Deception Code, A True Seeker's Guide to Discernment. My book will equip you with all you need to know about the battle you're in and how to stop being easy prey, easy target, for the human and spiritual predators that we deal with on a daily basis. Breaking the Deception Code, A True Seeker's Guide to Discernment, is now available through online booksellers and elsewhere.
This is the part of our show we call our weekly word of encouragement, where we take a few minutes to reflect back and share what God has been doing in our lives. But before we share, I do want to remind everyone to subscribe to the Flame newspaper. It is our companion publication. It is as simple as going to theflameusa.com, click the subscribe button. Now, the verse of the week is Isaiah 61. And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to let Anna take hold of the flame, take hold of the rest of the thing. So let's go. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I'm not going to read the rest of Isaiah 61 because I want Anna to be able to go through what she has to go through. But please, everybody, go read Isaiah 61. Replace your name and your kid's name and Amen. Put it in there. And let's claim this for our country
Amen.
Today.
We are going to claim this for our country today. You know, having the opportunity to do a weekly podcast is amazing because for people who are listening on a regular basis, you get to kind of follow our lives and things that are happening. And last week, I shared that my kids are still in public school and that in their fourth grade classroom was some pretty controversial symbolizations, a gay pride flag in particular and a BLM sticker in particular. And when I had gone to do a request a room change, the principal basically told me that they would be openly talking about equity. And so it wouldn't really matter if I moved them. And so, like I said, if you listen to last week, I ran with that. I'm like, oh, equity. All right. Well, if we're going to be speaking on equity, then, you know, where's the heterosexual flag, right? Where's the ISIS stickers?
If we're going to
be
flag.
Right, if we're going to be supporting BLM, then we need to support all terrorist organizations, right? So through that, then, you know, our conversation is above her pay grade. Okay, great, but you're in charge of the school, whatever. However, I do have to come and share how God is so amazing and how, you know, this verse of, you know, God gives us the opportunity to speak his love and his kindness. And so I got a call, or I had a meeting on Friday with the teacher, and long behold, she removed the symbolizations. And during that call, I actually cried because she explained, you know, her ignorance in a couple things and just like what I had brought to the surface as far as, you know, things that BLM has been doing and how it really isn't getting money back to, you know, to the Black communities and the lower income communities. They're just taking the money. And so she was like, you know, thank you so much for sharing this information, because I haven't even watched mainstream media for over 2 years because it makes me too nervous. And so with that, I just cried because honestly, I knew I had to say something and do something. However, I also didn't want my kids to be treated differently, you know, either. It's kind of that fine line. Like, how do you speak up and be firm, but be kind enough that your kids aren't a target, right? And so it was just the most blessed conversation. She's an amazing person, an amazing teacher, just so kind, and genuinely was like, I just thought this was the right thing to do. And so I was thinking about Pam Popper and how she was talking on our previous podcast about wins.
Yes.
Right? We have to have wins. And, you know, it may be a sticker and it may be a flag removed out of one classroom, but it is a win.
Yes, it is.
It is a win. And imagine if a parent in every classroom spoke up and said something, how many more wins we could have. So, you know, that's an action plan, guys. It happened in my own life. And so I hope that if you see something, you say something. And that doesn't mean that you have to be unkind. Be kind. Because I'll tell you what, this teacher is so kind-hearted. She thought she was doing the right thing by involving everyone. So with that also, the Flames had a pretty exciting week. We launched Project Parallel Communities, and we will be working with We the People too. And this project is just going to be amazing because, again, talking with Pam Popper and Sharam Mahadium, you know, they're already doing these parallel communities. And, you know, the Flame through subscriptions is able to fund those communities.
Yep.
And so we're super excited. We actually got to write our first grant yesterday. And it also, like, just kind of, I don't know, God always unfolds everything in the perfect time, because to be perfectly honest, the funds weren't there. But I was at church and God's like, I want you to write a $600 check to Liberty Market. And I was like, what? We don't even have the $600. We need to buy equipment for the Reawaken tour. Like, where is this money going to come from? And God was just like, I have you. Just do what I say. And so yesterday we wrote the check. And it was really, really exciting, because as we move forward, that is why we need our listener support. Make sure that you're subscribing to The Flame and getting subscriptions. And also telling all of your friends about it and making sure they get subscriptions.
And we have an affiliate site on our website now, too. So when you become an affiliate, you get 20% of the first subscription. It may not make you rich, but it will subsidize any excuse for the economy being too hard economically. No, this is what we have to do, and this is how we do it.
No, absolutely. So it does give people the opportunity to make a small income on top of then that goes back into the community. So with that, it was a super exciting week. We are nearing the end of our show, and we want to thank Alan for coming on with the Flame podcast. And if you feel that you would like to financially support us, please do so by going to theflameusa.com. And as we like to say, I'm Anna Kane.
I'm Nicole Orozco.
And I'm Steve, the producer, Johan, reminding you to keep your tinder dry, your torch lit, as together with God's help, we're spreading the truth like wildfire.
This, 'cause I am more than this.